Welcome to the iPod, a podcast series from Ophthalmology Times, where we engage with key opinion leaders about the latest innovations in the areas of surgery, clinical diagnosis, drug therapy, research, technology, or practice management. I'm here today with Dr. Sahar Bedrood, a glaucoma and cataract specialist at Acuity Eye Group in Pasadena, California, and a clinical assistant professor at USC Roski Eye Institute. She will be discussing the evolution of interventional glaucoma based on her own experiences and practice. Thank you for joining, Dr. Bedrood.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Could you shed some light on traditional glaucoma therapy as a whole and common issues you run into with medication adherence?
Yeah, so, you know, glaucoma over the last few, I would say, decades has evolved. More recently, it has evolved more quickly, but before that, traditional glaucoma surgery was considered something we use at the very end of an advanced glaucoma patient. So you would do trabeculectomies, you would do tubes. And I think for a long time, glaucoma specialists would hold off on those procedures until the patient really needed to because of the side effect profile. And until then, patients would use drops, topical therapy. The problem becomes patients don't really like using drops. It's difficult, not only physically for them, but to actually remember placing one, two, or three different bottles in their eyes every single day for 30 years. You can imagine that being really challenging for our patients. And so what would happen is before the evolution of glaucoma and what we call interventional glaucoma came into play, you know, we would just wait when their glaucoma got really bad, then you would do a big surgery. But now I think that the scenery has changed a little bit. We have this concept of interventional glaucoma, which we define really as doing something earlier, intervening earlier with laser or non-topical therapy or surgery or minimally invasive surgery earlier in the disease process for patients so that we can intervene and block the disease progression. So those are some of the kind of concepts with and changes in glaucoma that we're seeing in regards to, you know, the new versus the old methods.
And as we know, glaucoma is not just about IOP, but also managing the risk of progression. Could you explain more about why that's the case?
Yeah, so as far as glaucoma goes, IOP is just one of the risk factors for glaucoma. IOP is what we measure every time the patient comes in. But behind that, there is a whole other set of risk factors that is more basically innate to the patient. So there's their family history, their genetic makeup of how bad their glaucoma can be, how much vision loss they're going to have. Their race can play an issue. Their age can play an issue. The appearance of their nerves can play an issue. So these things we can't necessarily change. IOP is really the only thing that we can intervene with and change, but you know, it's a small part of the whole disease process. So I always tell my patients, it's the only thing I change, so I have to make sure that I do that well. The rest of it is really up to the patient's genetic makeup. And so those are some of the things that I kind of discuss with my patients when I talk about their pressure.
And with the advent of MIGS, how would you say it's changed the treatment paradigm, especially with interventional glaucoma?
I think intervening early, the MIGS, the doing laser early, the studies, all the studies that have come out that show that intervening early and getting that pressure down is beneficial to the patient. And it has totally changed the paradigm. You know, it's, you know, like I said, for 20, 30 years, I think the mindset was, we're going to put one drop at a time until the patient's at three drops. And then when we see that their, you know, their nerve is progressing or their vision is going down, then we'll do a big surgery. And I think that has completely changed. Now, when I see a patient, I optimize their regimen. They may or may not be on drops. I may do surgery earlier with bleb-based procedures like Zen, or I may do angle-based procedures in some of our younger patients to help drainage. And I may do that earlier than is traditionally thought. And, you know, in the past, I think that was taboo, but now it really is how you manage the patients. And these patients do really well, and they may not necessarily need more surgery down the line or they may. We don't know entirely, but I think that this concept of waiting and watching and adding more drops and drops and drops and then doing a big surgery at some point, that's done away with. Now we can do smaller things all throughout their treatment with us. So it really has changed the paradigm, and I think for the better.
Would you say that there's now less of a reliance on topical medication therapy?
I think that the patients who I intervene with earlier with some kind of MIGS, either surgery or laser, they do have less reliance on medication, topical, that is correct. The ones that we don't or are hesitant or whatever, for whatever reason we decide to keep on drops, we'll always be on drops. That's never really going to completely go away. But trying to replace that and taking that burden really off of the patients and into the doctor's hands so that we deliver the surgery, we deliver the medicine with sustained release drops or implants or whatever it is that's on the horizon. If we can do that, then the patient doesn't have to do that, because that is a burden and it is something that they have to deal with daily. And taking it out of their hands and into ours helps us manage it better, in my opinion.
And in your experience, what sets apart a proactive approach from a reactive approach in treating glaucoma?
You know, the proactive approach is something I actually do with every single one of my patients. If I get a new patient in who's already on multiple drops, I do something that I usually see what they need. I optimize, I wash them out, I restart drops if I need to, or I'll skip to other therapies. Reactive is saying, we're just going to do the status quo and then we'll wait and watch. And when you get vision loss, then we'll do something. But that's not necessarily the right answer, because these patients tend to have complex disease or complex reactions to medications, and being able to intervene surgically, especially because it's minimally invasive on all the different approaches we have. We can really, again, help reduce the burden and share in just kind of managing these patients better. And I'll tell you that the patients really appreciate having a change in their regimen, whether that's changing their drops or going straight to surgery. And I see it all the time. And again, it's a little bit of a mindset shift to see somebody for the first time or second time and say, hey, we're going to go to do surgery. You know, that's not easy for the patient or the doctor usually, but these procedures are so safe that I feel comfortable offering that. I'm not jumping straight to a trabeculectomy on day one, right? But we are doing, again, more of the blood-based, minimally invasive, not a lot of sutures, not big openings in the eye that would cause complications. And so I feel safe doing those. And oftentimes I'll tell my patients, you know, let's intervene earlier. Let's do the surgery. And if you don't do well, the biggest fear in all this is that the procedure fails. That's how safe these are usually. And if we need to do a bigger surgery later, we still can. And oftentimes those discussions are really important. And I think the patient really appreciates it as well.
When intervening early in patient cases, what would you say the difference is between passive managing and active managing?
Passive really just implies that you're either doing the very bare minimum or you're keeping them on the regimen that some other physician had them on. And just going through the motions, you know, they're on a prostaglandin nightly. Okay, that's fine. We just keep you on it. That's passive management, right? Because it's easier just to keep them on there than to investigate if they need it, right? So I will oftentimes do a washout on some of these patients and then do a visual field, do an OCT, see if they actually have nerve damage or glaucoma, see if they have ocular hypertension, and I take them off the drop. This is being reactive. This is being active. This is actually finding an answer. Or sometimes I'll have patients who come in on multiple medications with terrible eye allergies, right? Red eyes. And they say, you know, I've been on these for years. So passive management is saying, hey, sorry, there's nothing we can do. We're just going to keep you on your drops and you deal with the red eyes. Active management is saying, no, we're going to take you off the drops. We're going to see what it is that's bothering you. And if we need to restart some drops, fine. If we can go to surgery, better. And that's kind of the difference. And I think that there has to be a change in mindset to actively manage these patients. Because I think for many, many years, even in residency, I was taught to kind of do more of the passive stepwise approach. And I think that's really changing.
At what point does the intervention come into play?
at what point does intervention, you know, intervention can come into play very early on. Oftentimes, if I see a patient with glaucoma, I will still offer them drops first. I mean, I still think it is still somewhat first line therapy. Patients don't want to jump into surgery or intervention of any or procedure, so to speak, unless they've tried a drop. And if they do well, great. But if they don't, man, I have like a whole world of options for myself and being able to do that early on. So I say to my patients, you know, if they're new to me, that I will watch them pretty carefully over the next year with, you know, exams and see how their pressure does, see how their nerve is doing, see how their visual field is. And if I sense that they're not stable in any one of these three things, then I can intervene earlier. And that may be early in their disease, that may be later. It really depends on each individual patient. And that's the beauty of it. There is no cookie cutter. Let's put them on three drops and then we'll do a trap. I mean, that's how it was for so many years. And now it's more like, okay, let's see what you can tolerate topically. And it may, the answer may be, nope, they can't tolerate anything topically. And then you intervene. And there's no real like perfect right answer now where you have to try three different things and then intervene. It really depends on the patient. And if they're hesitant, then you don't have to. But certainly there are a lot of avenues for that now.
When would you say that surgery is the answer?
If the patient has a clear progression on their visual field, which means, you know, if they have more vision loss, then I am almost certain that they need something surgically to intervene. Oftentimes you can kind of play around with different non-surgical approaches with drops or sustained release or laser, SLT. You can do those things early on when the pressure is kind of going up and down or staying up. But once I have RNFL loss and visual field worsening, there is no question for me. So I really do talk to the patients about getting surgery at that point.
Which patients would you say are the best candidates for the surgery?
Any patient could be a candidate for surgery. It's just so dependent on that individual patient. I have patients who either are not tolerating the drops or who don't want to be on drops for a variety of reasons, who can't remember to be on them, or cost, for instance. I have patients who are on all the drops, plus, you know, oral Diamox, which, you know, we don't really want patients on these things forever, right? So those patients, we intervene earlier and do surgery. And the candidate for surgery really is anyone who has glaucoma, has vision loss, or shows signs of it. Someone who has signs of RNFL thinning, that means that their glaucoma and their pressure is just simply not low enough and they're not at a good target pressure. And those are patients that I would intervene earlier and do surgery for.
As we know, Zen is just one of several options for glaucoma therapy. Could you provide a case example of how it's helped you in your day-to-day practice with patients?
I use Zen, which is a blood-based procedure, in a number of my patients, you know, from mild to more advanced disease. That's kind of the beauty of it. I tend to use this in my earlier patients because they work really well. A really good classic example of me, and I use it in all kinds of cases, is a patient who, she's in her 50s. She has a very, very strong family history of glaucoma. I treat her mother as well, and her mother has really advanced glaucoma. So, you know, I fast forwarded this patient basically by seeing what happened to her mother. And, you know, the patient was, her pressures were probably in the low 20s. And I really wanted that those lower, you know, below 14 or so for this patient. We tried her on a couple of drops. It was just hit or miss. You know, she either wouldn't put it in or just wasn't quite getting us to where we needed to. I did a Zen for the patient in one eye. Her pressure has been consistently 11 since the surgery, and it's been a couple of years now. And it's just wonderful because she is not someone who is really good with taking the drops to begin with. She has a super strong family history of glaucoma, so I don't want any moment of IOP spikes. So I have this constant low pressure for this patient at 11. And then now we're going to do her other eye because it's showing some signs very early on of glaucoma as well. And so this is just like a classic example. And she's not on any drops for the surgical eye, and she's kind of on and off with the non-surgical eye. So this gives you a really good example of when you intervene early on one eye, you can be off of topical therapy, same patient. And the other eye, she just kind of refused to have surgery in that eye for a while. And then when she got a very clear sign of nerve thinning, then she agreed to it. And I think that it's going to make a big difference because A, the Zen will keep your pressure nice and low for a sustained period. You know, there's no up IOP spikes because it's essentially, you know, a stent and the pressure will constantly go out of it. I've really optimized my technique for it so that I get really good results, and, you know, and it's really beneficial to a lot of my patients. So this is one example, but I have many, many like them.
That's great. And what do you envision as the future of interventional glaucoma?
I think that the shift will continue to be on device innovation. I think there's going to be both surgical device innovation, doing blood-based procedures, angle procedures, procedures that combine drops with surgery, so some kind of sustained release, even more so than what we have now. I think that a lot of it is going to be the paradigm shift is going to be doing this earlier. I think that we are going to also, you know, I kind of alluded to it before, but taking the responsibility and the burden out of the patient's hands and allowing the physician to treat this head on by doing, you know, implants or delivery ports or whatever it is that helps lower the pressure for a longer period of time without the patients having to use eye drops. And I think that doing surgery earlier, less invasive surgery, but something earlier than we had been doing, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Truly appreciate it. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The iPod. We hope you subscribe at iTunes and let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. Stay connected by going to ophthalmologytimes.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.